in Houston. That day, the Astros make zero moves. Now, they're still in contention. They do nothing. The Blue Jays got five players that day. Now, they weren't players that blow you away. It was Francisco Liriano and an assortment of guys. But the atmosphere in the two clubhouses was night and day. The Blue Jays thought, you know, you had Russell Martin walking around going, I'll take care of Liriano. We're going to be great. This is a great day for us. So I think, like, when you make a trade at this time of year, you're sending a message to your ball club, hey, we're buying in. We're going to go do what we can to help you guys win. So I think there's that part of it, too.
And the Cubs, they have certainly responded well to the Quintana trade because they haven't lost a game since, and they're starting to look like the team that played last year a little bit.
That's right. And you know, what it tells you is even when those kids, you know, we always think of kids going to have a straight upward arc, but those kids, Baez, Schwarber, Contreras, they struggled in the first half. But what they had to fall back on, and I think what Theo Epstein and those guys fell back on, these are really talented players. So while there's going to be an adjustment period, we think they're going to come out of the other side. Same thing with those pitchers. Those guys, those starting pitchers have thrown a lot of innings. But Jake Arrieta, for one, John Lester, for another, they're such smart guys that you just sort of figured, okay, if it's having to come up with a cutter, it's having to change the pitch sequence, anything like that, they'll figure it out. And you know, who's playing better than anybody right now is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And with you look at that rotation with Cole, with Taillon and Nova, and then those guys are starting to hit. I mean, McCutchen looks like he's McCutchen again, and Polanco's hitting. So it could be fun. You know, the Brewers are a little bit snake bit right now with some losses, but, you know, who knows? And I think we all still wait for the Cardinals to make a run. When you look at the pitching, you know, at some point we're going to know, right? We're going to know what Piscotty and Grichuk, DeYoung, and all those guys are. If I'm buying stock, I'm still buying stock in the Cardinals when I look at what's at AAA and AA and the age of some of the guys. You know, Colton Wong looks like a player now, right?
Yeah, he does. Like, Colton Wong, he's actually had a pretty good year. He's just, you know, had a couple injuries where he's missed some time, and it seems like when he gets going, bam, he gets hit with a forearm injury, and he's right back on the DL. So you're right.
Yeah, and what has to happen is, you know what the Cardinals need? They need a franchise player.
Yes.
And there have been times we've all thought that guy was going to be Piscotty, I think. We thought Grichuk had a chance to be a really above-average player. We thought Matt Adams was going to be that for a while. So, and then sometimes, you know, a couple of years, they won 100. Was it last year or 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing. It was just lineup chemistry, a real deep lineup. And sometimes that can work, too. And also, that was the year I think they're starting rotation at an ERA of about 0.0.
Yeah, and the way they were hitting with runners in scoring position too that year was just tremendous. It was almost unprecedented. So do you see them, you know, making a big move for a cornerstone type player, or do you see them making a typical John Mozeliak Cardinal move where they're going to trade the rumor that Bob Nightingale had in USA Today was they were going to trade Tyler Lyons to the Baltimore Orioles for Brad Brock.
Brad Brock's a good player. I mean, he's that would be an underrated move. I don't buy the Donaldson rumors. I mean, there's some miles on Josh Donaldson.
There are.
And he plays. You know, sometimes there are guys that play at 100 miles an hour, and I know Josh was really hurting at the end of last season. When the season ended, he took a week off and went right to Dunedin, Florida, and started working out again. And, you know, he's what you're looking for in terms of presence, emotion, and fire. You know, more than that, though, what I think, I'm sure what the Cardinals are thinking is, should we change the mix of players? Should we just make a big trade and just change the group? You know, he did that. Didn't Mo do that like 3 years ago when he made that big trade with the Red Sox?
Yes.
It was not like we lost confidence in Alan Craig. It was more like, we're going to change the mix and we're going to send a message in there that it's not okay. And it worked.
And they were wanting to get Oscar Tavares in the lineup too. I think I think the general manager John Mozeliak and the manager Mike Matheny, they were really butting heads on who should get the playing time in right field. I think Mozeliak wanted Tavares, and I think Matheny, he wanted Alan Craig.
Yeah, you got to talk. Yeah, that's one way to make that happen. Now that you say that, I do remember that happening. So, you know, but I would be excited when I see the way those guys, the way Weaver's pitching, the way Bader's hitting, and I mean, I guess this guy Sierra is going to be a player. Carson Kelly, can Carson Kelly play any other position? Can he fill in at first base or anything?
I don't think he can, but man, I mean, like, contrary to the Cardinal fan belief, Yadier Molina's not going to play until he's 85. So,
yeah.
So I mean, I'd like to see him maybe get a little more playing time to get a little more acclimated with the major league experience.
Yeah, and you know, you got to get his at some point. You need his bat in there, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The division is really kind of fascinating. You know, like you can make a case for all those teams, maybe except Cincinnati, obviously except Cincinnati.
Hey, Richard, it's Eric from Quality Control. I'm in here today.
Hey, Eric.
Making my radio debut. Nice to speak with you today. As far as Carson Kelly, he was actually a converted catcher. He actually was a third baseman, I believe, before he was converted to catcher. But, you know, around town here, there's been this talk for years and years and years about all these prospects, and, you know, they've really regressed. They haven't progressed. And looking at the lineup today, I mean, you got DeJong. You know, I like him a lot. I think he'll be a great middle infield reserve type player. But, you know, your other guys, your Garcias, your Sierras, your Voits, you know, Fowler, Pham, there's just no one in there that really scares you. So,
right.
You know, they claim they have a real solid outfield depth, whether it's in the majors or the minor leagues. And I think it's time that you move some of that what they think is that young talent, and you try to get in a couple of guys here that can really make a name for the team.
Yeah,
you know?
But you don't want to sell low. And the one thing is, if you'd asked Cub fans a month ago, hey, what do you guys think of Baez? What do you think of Schwarber? What do you think of Contreras? They probably would say, get rid of those guys. They, you know, it's pretty obvious they can't play. When you look at Piscotty and Grichuk, they neither one have had 1,200 plate appearances in the big leagues. And I just think until you get, I mean, we're pretty close to finding out. But I always said older baseball guys always told me 1,500. You know, we've fast-tracked that so much with Harper and Trout and Carlos Correa and those guys. But you got to keep – I think young guys, you don't want to sell low, and I think you got to be careful about giving up because young players do go through an adjustment process.
Yeah, Randall Grichuk, though, I mean, he's had a chance. He's had several chances, up, down, back, forth. I mean, that would be a guy I would throw in a deal and just move him out. And I don't like Carpenter playing first base. I just don't think that is a good fit for him.
Say in the case of Matt, you just want him to hit. We'll find you a place, Matt. You know, just get back to being Matt Carpenter, and whether we play you third or second or first, it's okay. I know they're disappointed by the defense and some of the base running, but I think some of that's going to happen with young guys. And I think some of it's going to happen when you feel like you're in a hole and you can't, you know, everybody's got it trying to hit a 7-run home run and all that. And you you look around the division and go, oh, my God, the Cubs are going to win by 100 games. It's a tough position to play in and one they're not used to.
Richard Justice joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Richard Justice. So give us a big name that you think is going to move by the trade deadline. I'm looking at your article right now on MLB.com. You have Zach Britton. You have Sonny Gray. I think Sonny Gray is definitely going to go. Just a question of where. And I think Brad Hand is going to be one of those moves that when it's made, people are going to be like, wow, that team got Brad Hand. That's the team to watch out for because he's a pretty good reliever.
Yeah, and Justin Wilson with the Tigers is a guy everybody's on the list. And your buddy there, Pat Neshek. I mean, there is a good market for Pat Neshek right now. I was talking to Pat last week in Miami, and he said, well, I won a gold medal with the WBC for Team USA. I made the All-Star team. I just got to think I'm going to be somebody's good luck charm this year.
I like the way he's thinking. That's the best way to look at it, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about those relievers. Like, everybody starts wanting a starting pitcher. I remember talking to Pat Gillick. He would always start wanting a starting pitcher or an impact bat, and he'd end up with a seventh-inning guy now, or a bat off the bench, and it would end up making all the difference in the world. Like we talked earlier, I think the key is to send your team a message that we believe. I mean, the Diamondbacks went and got J.D. Martinez to hit against left-handed pitching, but they also went and told their players, hey, we like you guys. We appreciate that you busted your tail for 3 months. Now we're going to do what we can to help you.
A lot of rumors going around about the Miami Marlins outfield, Christian Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton. Do you think any of them stay, or do you think they get moved?
I think if you're trying to predict them, you don't know. Stanton could be had. You know, I don't know where we're at with the sale. Normally these things, we do all the background work. it never gets out, you know, until we're right up the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
It seems like every step along the way has gotten out. Can't imagine them trading Yelich. And, you know, if you're a guy coming in with a lot of money, you know, when you start getting these guys with big money, you want Giancarlo Stanton. You want him on your team. He'd be a guy you'd go for, but you, like with trading for Verlander, the first discussion you have to have is about the money.
And I want to say maybe it was John Hyman. I can't remember who it was that said that the Miami Marlins may even put Giancarlo Stanton on waivers, saying, all right, if anybody wants him, you can have him, but you got to pay his entire contract.
Yeah, that would be pretty risky, because I feel like the San Francisco Giants would do that in a heartbeat. You know, I deals like that are, you could almost put a pin to it and say if he might pay his salary for what he'd be worth in terms of sponsorships and tickets and all that. Maybe not that salary, because that's crazy, but he's a guy you want on your team.
Richard Justice, thank you so much for making time for us this evening, sir. It was fun as always, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Richard. That is Richard Justice from MLB.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Richard Justice. He's a good dude. I always love it when we have him on, man. He's funny. He's got great stories, too. Star of The Wire. I mean, come on.
That's, you're so nice there.
He is the star of The Wire. Why? Who do you think it is? Dominic West?
Of course not. Yeah, let's go with the guy in the one episode. Not the guy in the other 74.
Yeah, the guy who played the reporter in one episode. I think like the first one, too, or something like that. He's probably in it for like 2 seconds.
Is he in an early season? I thought he was one of the guys in like season four.
I thought he said he was in season one.
Was it season one? Okay, I couldn't remember.
The next time we have him on,
the
desk.
The only time I can remember reporters being in the show are season one and then in season four with all the Amsterdam stuff.
Yeah, and of course season five, which is all about
reporters.
Oh, well,
yeah, of course, yeah. That one too. I mean, season five's all I was kind of leaving that one out. It's all about the newspaper business.
A little too obvious?
Yeah, it's a little bit. A little bit. Tad bit.
Let's take a commercial break, and then when we come back, let's talk about Hugh Freeze and him resigning from Ole Miss. You would think that'd be a great job, man. Like, Ole Miss, Oxford, that's a great recruiting ground. Everybody who goes to Oxford loves that campus. Scenery there is unreal. Giamatti would be going insane. We have to put him on a leash. We have to put him on one of those kiddie things like you see at the mall.
Yes.
He's amazing. The scenery is amazing, and yet he was making calls to a Detroit area code. We'll discover more.
You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.